I've learned a little secret, and that is if I ring the prayer bells of heaven enough, everything will be all right. I believe that. I know that. And if I didn't believe that tonight, I'd close the doors. From the bottom of my heart, I'd close the doors. I'd sell out everything I could sell out, get rid of everything I could get rid of, and forget about the indebtedness and everything else, get it off of my shoulders, off of my mind, and that'd be it. That'd be it. But I believe that God will meet the needs. I say, well, you don't mean that you'd sell everything and it belonged to the brethren. If the brethren didn't want it, they didn't want to pay for it, why not? If it means anything to the brethren, they'll pay for it. If they won't pay for it, I wouldn't stand by, let it go down the drain. I'd give it to the widows. I'd give it to the offerings. I'd do something with it. As long as they care for it, I'm not going to mess with it because it belongs to them. But if they step and leave it alone, then it falls back on my shoulders. And I'm responsible to God to see that some hungry child or somebody gets it, not to let it go down the drain. I know that when they mention finance, some of them don't understand. But you know, it's like the brother out yonder, he's asking for $40 million right now. He needs $40 million. I believe Marcerilla was asking for $100 million, I believe it was. He asked and told him he needed an offer of $100 million, I believe, if I have it right. But, and I think Marcia's last crusade, I believe he spent $30,000, the last one I heard of in California there. It was $30,000 for advertisement. But see, here's the thing. It don't matter to me if they get $40 billion. If they're feeding the hungry, the poor, if they're building something for God and they're glorifying God with it, that's fine. If Old Roberts was glorifying God with what he was doing, I'd say, give him $50 billion if that's what it takes. But he's not glorifying God. There was a time when he was, but he's not now. He's running a worldly enterprise, one of the worst kinds. You say, what do you mean, one of the worst kinds, Brother Pike? He's not out here with booze and murder, and he'd be better off if he was out there with booze and murder. Yes, sir, when you start perverting the gospel and living under the guise of Christianity and turning God's house into lasciviousness, into the worldliness, that's one of the worst kinds of things that you could do. So then, how many believe in holiness? I'm getting such few amens here. I'm wondering how many folks I got here that believes in holiness. I want you to know, folks, I believe in holiness. Now, you might not, but I believe in holiness. I believe it's holiness or hell. I don't believe you're going to get to heaven if you don't have holiness. That's what I believe about it. All right, I turn over here to the book of Isaiah. Let's read a little bit and see what the Lord will say to us here. In the 63rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, the 15th verse, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You hear what I read then? God wants you to know that what I'm saying is true. You know, we don't know what we're going to read from. We just open our Bibles and God gives it to us there. Now look, listen to that. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness. In heaven, he's got holiness up there. And of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father through Abraham, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledgest not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting, O Lord. Why hast thou made us to error from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned in those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou art the potter. And we all are the work of thy hands. Be not wroth, very soul. O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people, thy holy cities, our wilderness. Zion is the wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will thou refrain thyself from these things, O Lord? Will thou hold thy peace and afflict us, very sore? You know, God is the God of holiness. In the Old Testament, when Aaron went into the temple of God or into the tabernacle, you know, he had to go in with a little thing up here that said, holiness unto the Lord. Holiness. Why would God bother to have such thing as holiness unto the Lord if he was not concerned about holiness? Why would God say that in the day of the restoration of the millennium, that even the horses' bridles will have holiness unto the Lord? He said that the ladies, when they go to get their pots and pans to cook their meals, they'll look at it and it'll say, holiness unto the Lord. Why doesn't he say Baptist unto the Lord? Pentecostal unto the Lord? Why doesn't it say Catholic unto the Lord? Charismatic unto the Lord? It says holiness unto the Lord. Because the Bible don't say that God is the spirit of Catholicism, nor the spirit of Baptist, nor the spirit of Methodist. It says God is the spirit of holiness. Is that right? And Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. Holiness unto the Lord. You say, but Brother Pike, when you say holiness, that means God's spirit. I know it means God's spirit. So that don't mean this bunch of holy rollies that's always down here trying to dress this way and that way. You are a liar. It does mean those bunch of people that you call a bunch of holy rollers. The Bible said be holy in body and in spirit. And the Bible said dress as becometh holiness. Like somebody said out yonder, if you'll do this and that, you won't have to preach on the clothesline. I'll tell you, if you do that, this and that, we wouldn't have to preach on the clothesline. But I'll tell you, a preacher that won't preach on the clothesline ain't got nothing to preach about. He needs to keep his mouth closed. The Bible said, holiness unto the Lord, dress as becometh holiness. That's what the Bible says, and that's God's Word. God's Word said, dress as becometh holiness, and he tells me to preach the Word. That means I got to preach on the clothesline, because that's what it says. Dress as becometh holiness. It says perfecting holiness unto the Lord. And the Bible said having your fruits unto holiness. Folks, holiness means that you got to look right, talk right, act right, be right. Somebody say I love Jesus, because I'm going to preach that way anyway. You know the devil don't like me. He don't like me. You know why he don't like me? Because I don't like him. If I liked him, he'd like me. But he knows I don't like him. He's out to get me and I'm out to get him. Amen. I'm out to tear him down. He's out to tear me down. He's made me his enemy because he's my enemy. Praise God. Now I believe in holiness. That makes me his enemy. Because he is the spirit of uncleanness. But holiness is the spirit of cleanliness. And I believe in holiness. Somebody say, well, I'd rather be in the church of God. I'd rather be in the assemblies of God. I'd rather be Pentecostal holiness. I tell you what, you can be in any of those things you want to, but if you ladies wear your pantsuits, you're going to hell. I don't care if you call yourselves church of God, assembly of God. I don't care where your preacher come from. You're still going to hell. And I said, well, bless God, Brother Pike and Simmons, God's a big movement. You don't think God's going to put it in hell? Every last bit of it. If they don't dress holy and talk holy, God will put the Assemblies of God in hell. God will put the Church of God in hell. God will put the UPC in hell. God will put every church, every denomination, every sect of people in hell that don't live holy. I don't care what they call themselves. Praise God. Now I feel like preaching because I can see some of you done dug in out there. That gives me a chance to say something. This morning when I was hollering rejoice, we was a shouting and a having a good time and a screaming and a hollering and a rejoicing. Then I got up here with the word and the whole situation's changed. Praise God. What does the song say? In the mountain of God's holiness. Alright. So then, what do we need to do? We need to repent of our sins and get holy. You say, well, Brother Pike, you say something about the buildings and the building of the buildings, but you're building buildings. I haven't said anything about people building buildings. I don't care if they build a million buildings, if they do it for God. Solomon built a building and God accepted it until they turned away from God. Isn't that right? When they turned away from God, then God had them tear it down. Is that right? Solomon built a beautiful building, built it out of gold. Somebody say, oh, these chandeliers, Brother Pike. Well, they're not real expensive, but anyway, you make a fuss over them. All them chandeliers, all that money that you took away from them hungry babies. No, that isn't the way it is at all. As a matter of fact, because I gave some money to some hungry baby, God worked it out so I could have a chandelier. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, but just think of how many babies that chandelier would feed. How many would like to buy it tonight? If you buy it, we'll take it down. If you got some money you'd like to buy it with, why, we'll take it down and send it to the babies. I say you wouldn't do it. I challenge you to get up here and see. That's the best way to find out. I'll have somebody bring a ladder right in. We'll take it down and send it right to the babies. You know why they're up there? God put them up there after I tried to do something for somebody. And you know why God put them up there? Because he knows that people look on the outward appearance. And God was wanting, knowing that they look on the outward appearance, God was wanting to put up a little something to catch their attention. To where he could get some people in here, to where he could give some more money to the little hungry babies. That's why he done it. That's why he done it. Praise God. Well, that's one way to break down the middle wall of partition. Kept getting in the way. All right, you love Jesus? All right. Now, I believe that we need to do something for God, folks. And if I get that kind of indignant, it's not because I am. It's just because I believe in doing something. You know, the missionary from Mexico the other night came over to Tulsa, or there in that area. And I tell you what, if you think I'm raising my voice, you ought to have been there. You ought to have been there. When he was showing the slides of the little ones that was hungry, he'd be showing the slides, and brother, he didn't raise his voice to preach, but as loud as he could holler, as hard as he could holler, it sounded like as mean as he could holler, he hollered and screamed at them people. I couldn't hardly believe it. I wouldn't believe it hadn't been there. Am I telling the truth, Mike? And I tell you what, he got results. He got results. He told them what he thought about him and how he felt about it, and then he got results. But I believe that we need to do something for God. And I believe that we need to establish a mountain of holiness for God. I don't believe that God wants you and me to compromise the gospel. And I don't believe that God wants us to have a backbone like a jellyfish. And every time some wind of doctrine comes along, bow down to it, change around. But I believe God wants us to stand up for holiness. I believe God wants you to stand up for holiness. If you're at the dentist's office, at the doctor's office, if you're at the president's office or wherever you're at, I believe God wants you to stand for holiness. And I intend to stand for holiness. Like I told my wife the other day, I said, Betty, I intend to stand for God and to stand for holiness. I've got my life to give to God, and I'm going to give it to God. And the only way that I can give it to God is to give it to holiness. Now somebody said, well, why don't you preach Revelation to us? I tell you, Revelation ain't worth 15 cents to a person that ain't got a life of holiness. You just got a brainstorm and that's all that's wrong with you. But brother, when you get God and you get holiness in your heart, then revelation will come to you and you'll find out everything's all right. These evangelists running across the country having tent meetings and praying for the sick and all this kind of thing, all of that ain't worth 15 cents. If they haven't got holiness in their heart, they're just a bunch of make-believers, and that's all there is to it. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? Look at the two that I just went out here to visit with. That's supposed to be your top men in healing. If they've got so much from God, why has they gone the way they've gone? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that just proves one thing to me. You don't have to have all this holiness you're talking about to have the power of God. I don't believe they got the power of God. Amen. Glory to God. Let me get out here closer to you. Maybe I can shake you loose a little bit. I said, I don't believe they got the power of God. I don't believe the power of God's in their lives. You say, but Brother Pike, I believe it is. Well, that's what you believe. But the Bible don't justify that. I don't believe it's in their lives. Now, I know you can have a gift. And I've said again and again, having a gift, that the gift will work. I believe that. But that still don't mean you got the power of God in your life. Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. He could prophesy. And it would come to pass, but he still didn't have the power of God in his life. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. I tell you what we need is the blessings of God in our life, and we need the power of God in our life, and we need to live a life of old time Holy Ghost living. Hallelujah. We need some people in little Bethlehem that'll stand up for godliness and stand up for holiness and help us carry the gospel to the end of the world. Like I said this morning, when that ball was hit, it went all the way around the world. It started Bethlehem, it went around the world, and it came back to Bethlehem. That means that God is doing something in Bethlehem, whether you believe it or not. Say, well, what do you think God's going to do? Put it all the way around the world. I believe that's what God's going to do. Hallelujah. And I believe that there'll be some people here that'll help us put it all the way around the world. I believe there's some people that's sitting here tonight that loves God. And I believe that they've got Christianity. And I believe that they believe in holiness. I know there ain't a lot of them. But I know there's some here tonight that believes in holiness. I believe there's some people that's got the Holy Ghost here tonight. And I believe there's some folks here that needs the Holy Ghost tonight. They need to get right with God. Some of them's got God. Some of them needs God. Some of them's got the Holy Ghost. Some of them needs the Holy Ghost. When we begin to get together, begin to do the things that God wants us to do, begin to try to publish holiness. Somebody may say, well, Brother Pike, what do you think we ought to publish? I believe we ought to publish holiness. When we get to where we can publish this Holy Ghost gospel, you don't have any business trying to preach anything but God's holiness. You don't need to be up here trying to pray for the sick, trying to get people healed, trying to do this or do that. You need to preach holiness unto the people. That's what you need to do. You need to preach this Holy Ghost gospel. Preach that people ought to get straight in their lives, clean up their lives, and then God will heal them. The Bible said God sent His word and healed them. What kind of word is it? In the beginning was the word of holiness. God is the spirit of holiness. In the beginning was the word, and the word is God, and the word of God is holiness. And He sent the spirit of holiness and healed them. That's why the Bible said make straight paths for yourself. Lest the lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. Make some holy paths for yourself. Get holiness, get virtue. You know, when the little woman came to Jesus to be healed, the one thing that done the job was the spirit of virtue. When the virtue went out of the body, it healed the little woman. And brother, when we get virtue in our body, we get full of the virtue of God. That virtue goes out, it'll heal people. It'll deliver people, and something will happen to those people. What we need at Bethlehem is a whole lot of holiness. Not a whole lot of people up here that's trying to put on a show to pray for the sick to make somebody believe that they got a gift. We need holiness. I want to get my people to where they'll praise God, where they'll enter His gates with thanksgiving. They'll come into His courts with praise. And they'll live a life of holiness all the days of their life. They'll walk in the spirit of holiness. I want my people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't live a Holy Ghost life unless you got the Holy Ghost. Some of you are trying to live a Holy Ghost life when you don't have the Holy Ghost. You can't live a life of holiness if you don't have the Spirit of holiness. You got to get the Spirit of holiness before you can live a life of holiness. If you get full of the Holy Ghost, then you could live a life of holiness. You know, the Bible just doesn't tell us to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it tells us that we should be full of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? Are you full of the Holy Ghost tonight? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? You say, well, Brother Pike, are you full of the Holy Ghost? I tell you one thing, I'm trying my very best to get full of the Holy Ghost. I got every bit I can get from God and still trying to get some more, because I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible said when John was on the Isle of Patmos, said it was as though the sun shined within his strength. You know what? What we need tonight is the power of God and the Spirit of God shining within our strength. If you don't want to die, just get the Spirit of God in you. Let the Spirit of God get in you so much that it just shine out through your strength. That's what I want. I want the power of God and the Spirit of God radiating in my life, shining out to make me a witness. The Bible said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then shall you receive power. He shall be witnesses for me. We can be witnesses for God if we stay full of the Holy Ghost. You know that? How do you know that? If we stay full of the Holy Ghost, you can't witness for God if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. But brother, if you want to witness for God, you're going to have to get full of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's time you start seeking the Holy Ghost. Start seeking the Spirit of God. Ask God to give you a spirit. Get away somewhere. Say, Lord, give me that Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Let my cup run over with the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, if we'll do that, something's going to happen to us. We'll find ourselves, what does the song say? Rivers of water out of my innermost being will flow, those rivers of living water. There is a river. A river that's coming from the throne of God. You know, we natural-minded people say, well, Brother Pike, that river is flowing down from that beautiful throne of God. Let me tell you something tonight, children of God. The only throne of God there is inside of your heart right here. And if there's a river doing any flowing, it's flowing out of you. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. If we're the lively stones that make up that city tonight, what we need to do is be full of the Holy Ghost and let the Spirit of God, let the river of life, the waters of life, come out of this innermost being and flow down to the thirsty people that's all around us. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to be holy in God's sight. The Bible tells us that. Add to our experience holiness. I want to have the Spirit of holiness. I want to have the glory of God in my life. I want to be filled up and overflowing with God's precious Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a make-believer. I don't want to be somebody out here trying to make believe and get somebody to believe I'm something that I ain't. Paul said to have people thinking more highly of me than they ought to. I want them to think soberly of me. I want to do what I can for God. But I'll tell you, I don't have any ambition to do what I saw done out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can believe one thing, there's no ambition in my life to do what they're doing out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that is doing like the Assemblies of God and the Church of God and many other great Pentecostal movements. And that is to turn the things of God into a condition of lasciviousness, bringing in baseball and football and all these other kind of things. It's an abomination in the sight of God. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'll tell you, it is wrong. Years ago, you couldn't get a Pentecostal church to follow after a ball game. You couldn't get a Pentecostal church to have any such thing as a ball game incorporated in it. They wouldn't have any part of it. You know why? Because they had the Holy Ghost. You say, but Brother Pike, they still got the Holy Ghost, but they haven't got the Holy Ghost. If they still had the Holy Ghost, they'd still do away with the ball games. Brother, the Holy Ghost hasn't changed. How many of you tonight believe that the Holy Ghost would go to a ball game? Come on now. Come on now. How do you believe that Jesus would go to the ball game? Somebody said, well, now, Brother Pike, there's no need to get a radical about it. You're talking about two different things. You're talking about me and Jesus. I know it. I'm talking about you and Jesus, but I'm just talking about me. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I'm talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Me and my Father are one. Wherever I go, that's where my Father is. Hallelujah. When you go to a ball game, if you went to a ball game, if you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then that means Jesus went to the ball game. Come on now. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. I certainly do believe that. How else could you do it? If a mother was carrying a child and she went to the ball game, wouldn't the child be at the ball game? Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. If you go to the ball game and you got Christ in your heart, then that means Christ was at the ball game. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I don't think Christ would enjoy a ball game. I'll tell you something more outstanding than that. I don't think Christ would enjoy you going to the ball game. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Praise God. Brother Mike was telling me on this last visit, he went over to visit with one of the brothers out there. Good brother. Loves the Lord. Said he's sitting down there in the house and had his little son on his knee and said, this little boy said, what do y'all do over at Bethlehem? Said, do y'all play baseball? Mike said, no. Said, well, y'all play football? Said, no. And he went on down the line. And finally, he began to frown up a little bit. He found out we didn't play no kind of ball over here, you know. Of course, our little ones play games around here. Of course, our big ones try to, too. Some of them. But he said, well, what do you do? Mike said he kind of had a hard time explaining. But said he said to him, said, look, son. Said, you're wanting me to watch TV with you? Said, yeah. Said, I want to ask you a question. Said, if Jesus was in here, said, do you think that you'd want him to watch those things with you that you're going to watch on TV? He said, no. And the little boy began to get the point. You know what? We want to take God everywhere that we go. Isn't that right? Brothers and sisters, if there's something virtue at the ball game, you could take Jesus. He'll go down there. How do you believe that? You say, what, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean, get rid of the ball team. Get rid of the ball team and turn that stadium into a Holy Ghost revival and Jesus will go down to, well, we say not the ball game, but the ballpark. He'll go down there with you. Did you know that? Take a football stadium and get the football out of there and get the players out of there and put Christ in there and he'll go down to the football field with you. He wants us to do things right. He wants to heal the sick. He wants to save the lost. He wants to resurrect the dead. He wants us to live a life of holiness. There's no need of us fooling ourselves and telling ourselves that we're going to make the rapture and we're going to go to heaven if we don't have the Holy Ghost. Why is it that we try to get around that? Why is it we try to do everything but live a life of holiness? It's like I told my wife concerning the meeting out there. I said, these people are mixed up. Though some of them got some things from God, the Spirit of God was in their midst. Because they were ignorant, not knowing. But I said, Betty, they're mixed up. I said, you know why they're mixed up. I said, when we find out what the root of it is, it's going to be because they don't follow the Spirit of holiness. You brothers out here, you sisters out here that's trying to get the Spirit of God in the revelation of Christ, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. You're asking for the Spirit of revelation. You're asking for the revelation of Jesus Christ, but you'll never get it until you live a holy life. Until you take holiness as the root of the tree that you're trying to grow. Until you plant a seed of holiness, there'll never be any spiritual revelation coming up in your life. You say, but Brother Pike, I don't do the things you do, and I still get revelation. You get just enough revelation to pervert you and cause you to go to hell. You say, but Brother Pike, I know people that don't live a holiness life, but they still get healings. They get just enough healings to cause them to die and go to hell. A lot of lying signs and wonders in the land. I made the statement the other night that devils can work miracles. You may have a man come through here and he may preach to you and he may work some miracles. But he may be of the devil too. Somebody say, now look out, Brother Pike, you'll be blasphemed. I want you to know that a man can get up there and preach God's word. I mean preach God's word. Turn around and work miracles. And not be living one bit of God's word. Not be living one bit of God's word. Hey, you say, Brother Pike, you don't expect us to believe that. The Bible said the devil quoted the scripture to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The devil quoted the word to the word himself. Quoted it word by word. Check it out and read it. The devil is a Bible scholar. Let me tell you something. You take some of these boys that can quote these passages of scripture. That don't mean nothing. Like one of them had failed here a while back. I made the statement that's talking about him being such a great Bible scholar. I said, that don't mean nothing. I said, God said to me, the man's not right with God, then he's going to fall. And he did fall. Amen. Just quote passage after passage after passage. The devil can quote the scripture. That don't mean you got God, brother. You say, but if I can get the sick healed, you can get up here and work miracles, but it still don't mean that you've got God. These healing meetings that's going through the country don't mean that them people's got God. I tell you again, read it in the book of Revelation. It said that there went out of these three the great trinity of the Antichrist. Out of the dragon, out of the false prophet, out of those great leaders, three unclean spirits. I want you to get that now. Out of them went three unclean spirits. It didn't say the Holy Ghost went out of them. It said unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. You say, what is an unclean spirit? You know what? A man had leprosy. A woman had leprosy. They'd have to go forth saying unclean, unclean, unclean. Why? Because an unclean spirit had hold of them. And the Bible said out of them three went unclean spirits. What were they going to do? The Bible said they went out through all of the land, all of the land, all of the land. What was they doing? The Bible said they went to gather the people together, gather the kings together, went into the palaces, went to the rich men. They had all kind of things. And what was they doing? The Bible said they went forth to work miracles in the earth to deceive them by the miracles that they worked in the earth. Come on, folks. Why? Because they knew that a sinful and an adulterous generation is following after healing evangelists, following after a ten evangelists. They knew that a sinful and adulterous generation is seeking a sign, looking for something. They knew that. And the Bible said they went to the kings of the earth. They went to the professional men. They went to the rich men. They went to the men that had money. And they offered them a pack of plenty. And they offered them a prayer partnership. And they said, if you join up with us, God will bless you. Will he do it? If you'll give, the Lord will bless you. Will he do it? In the days of grace, though you live like the devil, if you give to help the poor and you give to help the needy, and whether the gospel be published for contention or whatever the purpose is, to build a kingdom or an empire, God will still bless you because you contribute to that cause. But brothers and sisters, it don't make that cause right. You say, but Brother Pike, how can we tell when it's God's person that God has sent? The Bible said you shall know them by their fruits. There's one thing that those evangelists can't do. They can raise money. They can build empires. They can work miracles, but there's one thing that they can't do, and that's live a life of holiness. They don't have any spirit for holiness. They don't have any fruits unto holiness. By their fruits ye shall know them. Follow their lives and know them that labor among you. So then, the Bible said those spirits, Satan, the devils, said it was three spirits of the devil, said it was demon spirits. They went out into all the world. What was they doing? Working miracles. Working miracles. Now listen. Oh, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know the kind of miracles that they would work? Nobody wouldn't pay any attention to them. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said they went forth to work miracles to deceive them that dwell on the earth. The kind of miracles that they worked, people believed in those kind of miracles. Because he said he went forth for that purpose, to deceive them that were on the earth. Isn't that right? You understand what I'm saying? They went forth to work miracles. Why were they working miracles? Said they was going to gather the people together. Gather the people together. Isn't that the same theme of every evangelist just about that comes through that don't want to preach the word of God? We all got to get together. The Catholic, the Baptist, the Methodist. Somebody said we've got to leave this doctrine business off. I don't preach doctrine, somebody would say. No, you hypocrites, you don't, because you're a devil. That's why. Devils can't afford to preach doctrine. They say, I don't preach no doctrine. What I believe we need to do is just praise God. Get together. I believe that we ought to have this great blessing of God. Oh, dear beloved, they will say, God wants to heal you. God wants to bless you. That's true, God does. God does. He wants to bless you. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Satan said, now let me tell you something, Eve and Adam. It ain't just exactly the way that God said it. Not exactly. Come on now. Say something like that, but not exactly. That ain't exactly the way it is. Now Brother Pike, he preaches like this, and I know that Brother Pike is a man of God. I know that. Yeah, devils know that. Did you know that? Devils know Elijah. Devils know preachers. Devil knows who is and who ain't. Did you know that? Now we know that Brother Pike's like this, but it isn't altogether like that. There's a little bit of difference. After all, he thinks he knows everything, but he doesn't realize that I'm a preacher too. Now you listen to me, he'll say. And Miriam said, now, Moses, he thinks he's the only prophet. Aaron, what do you think about it? Well, I'm in agreement with you, Miriam. Somebody say, I love Jesus. It ain't exactly the way that Moses tells it. You know, bzz, 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 over here. It isn't just exactly like that way. Pass the coffee. Got any goodies? Not just exactly like that. But after a while, God overheard their conversation, and God said, come here. Come here. I want you to come here, Miriam. I want you to come here, Aaron. Don't you know they must have shook and trembled like a leaf in a windstorm? God said, come here. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You keep buzzing. You keep saying things. You keep causing problems. And the first news you know, God is going to say, come here. Come here. And they come over there. And God said, Miriam, I want to ask you something. Oh, Miriam, she shook the timbrel and she hollered and she danced and had a good time and God blessed her. So she thought, well, God's with me just like Moses. But folks, I want to tell you something. God may be with you. I don't say that he isn't. But don't you dabble around with God's word. Don't you go to try to change God's word. Miriam, leave it alone. Miriam, he may be with you. You may fast. You may pray. You may be in touch with God. I hope you are in touch with God. But don't you start messing around with God's word. When the preacher preaches God's word, you don't try to add to it. You don't try to take away from it. You just leave it just like it is. Don't say anything about it. God said, Miriam, Was it you afraid? Come on now. He said, Miriam, wasn't you afraid to do what you've done? Oh my. Miriam, wasn't you afraid? Said Aaron, wasn't you afraid to do the things you've done and say the things that you said? Said Miriam, Aaron, I want to ask you something. Said, is there another man in all of the land like my man Moses? Is there anyone anywhere in all of the land? Said, he's faithful in all of his house. He never did say, Miriam, you're faithful in all of your house. He didn't say, Aaron, though you administer the priesthood, you're faithful in all of your house. But he said, wasn't you afraid to speak about my prophet Moses? He was faithful in all of his house. Glory to God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And I said, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. We're talking about you. No, I'm talking about Moses. See, we're talking about two different subjects. Your mind's going one way and my mind's going another. Yeah, we know what you mean, though. If you know what I mean, then you're on the same trail I'm on. We're heading the same direction. Glory to God. You said, but Brother Pike, he ain't ever said that about you. No, but I tell you what, there was a vision that come forth and said, there's no man in all the land. There was a vision. There was a vision. Say, well, he wasn't talking about you, but he was talking about somebody according to the vision. Say, what's that got to do with it? Well, I just thought I'd throw that in for good measure so your minds quit running. It does show him the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't it? At least he can speak the same things, can't he? But I'm not saying tonight I'm to be compared with Moses. I'm not saying I'm to be compared with any of the great men of old. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you've got to keep your mouth shut. You've got to quit running your mouth and you're going to get in trouble with God. The first news you know, God is going to turn you over to a reprobate mind and let you believe a lie and be damned. I read to you tonight, these people said, God, why hast thou hardened thy heart? Why have you departed from thy servant? They cried out. Why did you do it? Because you keep running your mouth. Because you keep doing the things you're doing. But oh, hallelujah. There is some that belongs to God. And like when he put the ring on my finger, he talks to them the same way. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I'll be with you even until the end of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God is so good. Isn't he good? We sing that song, for he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus, you made me glad. God, you made me to talk like this. Lord, there's one time I didn't talk like this. Father, there's one time I never say things like this. I never did have things like this on my mind. God, why do I talk like this now? Because thou hast made me glad, Father. You put something down inside of me. I'm glad about it. And it makes me talk like this. Hallelujah. It makes me feel good. It makes me want to see you live a holy life. You know, I want to see you live a life of holiness. I want to see my men folks stand up like a real man and live a life of holiness. You know that missionary over yonder, he screamed out. He said, I was down in Mexico preaching. You know, I'd been showing these slides of these little hungry fellas. It always gets a hold of my heart. He'd been showing these slides, and he told him, he said, I was down there preaching. He said, and while I was behind the sacred desk preaching, he said, in come two of these men. So they bounced off their horses. Said they come in and had whips, horse whips. Said they run up to me, one on one side and one on another, and said they began to beat me. And said, as they beat me, said the tears began to stream down my cheeks. But said, I just kept on preaching. I kept on preaching. Said they left off women, they went out, I kept on preaching. Said in a little while they come back and he took those horse whips to me again and said tears were streaming. Oh, how it must have hurt from the way he expressed it. He said, but I kept on preaching. I kept on telling about Jesus. And said, finally, when I got through, he said, people begin to come to the altar. Come to the altar. He said, when the service was over, he said, I walked outside. Said, when I stepped outside, said, one of them was standing on this side and one of them was standing on that side. Said, when I stepped out the door and I got there, he said, one of them over here said, I want to ask you a question. He said, how far is hell? He said, when he made that statement, said, that horse standing close by, reared up like that and lashed out with his feet. He said, and it knocked him for a loop. He said, he went over there, said, he ran to him. He said, but it was too late. The man was dead. He said, he found out how far hell was that quick. Glory to God, I tell you right now. God suffered the beating. God suffered the beating to show Christ. God suffered the beating that they might have a testimony of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Glory to God, and so that the man would stand. But when they began to mock him, they took it too far. And when that man said, tell me how far is hell? That was more than God wanted. The big feet of that horse sent him to hell that quick. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. You can go too far. You can go too far. How do you know you can go too far? Slim, don't do that. If you've done wrong, say, forgive me, Jesus. If you've gossiped and done wrong, say, forgive me, Jesus. Don't go too far. Don't just keep on running your tongue. Don't just keep on doing something to hinder the gospel. Get a hold of yourself. You know, the Bible teaches that a man that don't have any control over spirit, he's like a city with a broken down wall. Isn't that right? Don't just keep on and keep on and keep on. If you've been out there, friend, and you got away from God, and if you've done wrong, and God has brought you back, don't go out there again. Don't just keep going out there and dabbling around a little while, running back, and dabbling around a little while, running back. Don't do that. After a while, God will get upset. See, put it behind you. Burn the bridges behind you. Say, Jesus, I've been growing up. I made a mistake, Lord. But God, I know better than to do that now. Oh, hallelujah. I know better now, Jesus. I've done it when I was a child. I'm sorry that I've done it. But Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I won't do that no more. Oh, now help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. And I'll tell you what, God will wash away your spots. Oh, I feel glad. I feel glad. I always feel that gladness. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. It makes me feel glad. Hallelujah. Say, I'm sorry, Jesus. I didn't mean to do wrong. I want you to forgive me now. I want you to forgive me, Jesus, because I didn't mean to do that. See, and get in here and let's go on for God. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, there won't be no more days like that. Hallelujah. Say, from now on, I'm yours. I'm yours. From now on, I'm one with you, Jesus. Don't you love him? If you love him, lift your hands up and say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise God. Can we stand to our feet right now and praise God? Listen, if you want to go with Jesus and you don't want to get, if you don't want to be in the same condition that fellow was, let's love Jesus. Let's stop tongue lashing here. Let's don't tongue lash the preacher. Let's don't say things contrary to God. Oh, folks, let's get in going with God before it's too late. Let's do something for Christ. Don't you want to do it tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, I feel that gladness again. There it comes again. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? I feel that gladness again. I feel that spirit of joy again. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you pray for me because I want to live for God. And 2 days later, you're doing the same ugly old thing. Then you come back, Brother Pike, you pray for me because I want to live for God. I tell you, you better get right with God. You better quit your taunting around with God and you better get right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's going to do. God is the God of the way I feel. Jesus is the way of the way I feel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is the
God of the way I feel. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love him tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Don't you love him tonight? Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Let's call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Royal telephone. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line now. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Sing it again. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Well, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Well, if you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Now. Well, if you want your healing, tell him what you want. If you want your healing, tell him what you want. If you want your healing, tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Come on, folks, let's sing it. Let's call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Hallelujah. Tell him what you want. If you want healing, tell him. If you want to be made glad, tell him. Oh, I feel that gladness in my heart. He hath made me glad. I feel that gladness in my heart tonight. I feel that gladness in my heart tonight. God is making me glad. That resurrection from the dead, I feel it inside of me tonight. Hallelujah. And I heard everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth saying, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Let everything that hath breath praise God. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Do you ever take time to call Jesus up? A lot of times I get in on my knees over in the morning. You know, they used to have a song called The Royal Telephone. Telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current just moving on the line. Hallelujah. When I get in trouble, I give that royal line a call. Oh, telephone to glory. Hallelujah. Free to one and all. Hallelujah. Don't you love that song? It's a telephone to glory. And oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current and it's moving on the line. Hallelujah. That's why I say call him up and tell him what you want. Brother, when you need something, call him up. You know, if you need something from town and you can't go, you go to a telephone and you say, hey, would you please send that over here? Oh, you don't have enough confidence in God to call God up and tell him to send it over to your place? Don't you have enough faith in God? The Bible said if you decree anything in your heart, it'll come to pass. All you got to do is decree it in your heart. See, you say, now look, Jesus, I need a blessing. I'm going to decree it in my heart tonight. I want a blessing, Father. I decree in my heart tonight, I'm going to have a blessing. Don't waver. Stay with it. I decree in my heart tonight, God is going to heal me. Stay with it. I decree in my heart that God is going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Stay with it. Stand right there. Don't waver. I decree in my heart that God's going to meet my financial needs. Stay with it. Oh, brother, let me tell you. I believe it the way Jesus said it. You say, well, it won't come to pass. It always has. Why should I doubt it now? When old brother Polycarp stood before the fire, and they said, man, why don't you deny Christ? He's never done any harm. Why should I deny him now? There's no reason for me to deny him, Polycarp said. Turn on the flames, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? When old brother Elijah and Elisha stepped over Jordan, the Bible said Elisha looked out there. Elijah looked out there. And all of a sudden, here come that chariot of fire. Hallelujah. The Bible said that chariot of fire came down. And the Bible said there stood that chariot of fire and them prancing horses. And you know the Bible said it was horses of fire too. And while they were standing there, the Bible said a whirlwind come down from heaven and separated them. And off went Elijah. Glory to God. Glory to God. One of these days, the whirlwind of God that come down and got old brother Enoch going to come whirling down. Hallelujah. You're going to say goodbye. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. They sing that song, I'm packing up, getting ready to go. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Hallelujah. It's not far away, people. It's not far away. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. I'll tell you right now, it's not far away. One of these days, Jesus is going to step out on the clouds of heaven. You believe that? He's going to step out on the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. Now he's going to be coming back to the Jews. You believe that, don't you? He's going to be coming back to the Jews. And the Bible said that same Jesus that went away, he'll come again. And the book of Revelation said, every eye shall see him. And they that pierced him shall look upon him. And all of the people of the earth shall wail because of him. What will he do? He'll come sweeping down out of heaven, stand down upon the Mount of Olivet. And the Bible said, they'll say, where did you get them nails in your hand? And he'll say, I got them in the houses of my friends. Oh, the Bible said they'll weep and they'll mourn and they'll look at him and they'll cry as they see those lovely nail-riven hands as he stands there on the Mount of Olivet. You know, the Mount of Olivet, it's just a little ways from Jerusalem. About 300 feet elevated above the city of Jerusalem. Stand on the top of it, see the beautiful Judean hills. See the mountain of Moab. On the other side, Bethany. And it's just down from the Mount of Olives over to Jerusalem. Looking down, you can see the golden gates down there. See those beautiful golden gates. See that little trail winding down to the golden gates. And there from the Mount of Olivet, he ascended up to God. And as they stood there, two men in white apparel appeared to him. He said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing in the heavens? The same Jesus that went away, he shall so return in like manner as ye have seen him go." Go back to Jerusalem. Jesus said, "Tarry till you be endued with power from on high." You know, it's just a Sabbath day's journey coming down from the Mount of Olivet, from the Garden of Gethsemane up there, just a Sabbath day's journey. You know, Sabbath day's journey is what they call 1,000 yards. And it's just exactly 1,000 yards from the Mount Olivet, down across the Kidron Valley, right down through the Golden Gates, and right into the city. Right, you know, just as you go into the beautiful gates, there's the Mosque of Omar. There's the Mosque of Omar. And there's that rock, the Dome of the Rock, what they call the Dome of the Rock. We spoke of it. You know, when we was over there, we throwed that track of faith on it, going through the mosque. See, Mount Moriah, about 36 acres, I believe there is in there. And Mount Moriah, that's the site where Abraham offered up his son on that rock. They say it's about 15 yards long, about 12 yards wide, and about 2 yards high. And this was the site where Solomon built the temple. In about 51 years, just before the return, going back up out of Babylon, back up to rebuild the walls, Nebuchadnezzar went there and tore down the temple of Solomon. Though they built it back and Herod enlarged it, made it bigger, yet when Titus came in 70 AD, they tore it down again. But one day God's going to build it back. It's going to be there. We're going to be there to anoint him the most holy. And down upon the Mount of Olivet he'll come, just like he went away. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olivet. And when he comes down, that gate's going to come in too and open up. And in he will go, right over to the dome of that rock. You know, they believe that their prophet Mohammedan lifted up, just walking along by night, that he went away there, that he left from over there. But oh, I tell you something, the Lord meant that for his sight. No Mohammedan ever got caught away from there. No one ever done that. That rock was for Isaac. That rock was for the promised son. Hallelujah. Mount Moriah, the father of the faithful. I read it to you tonight. Jesus is going to come back to the Mount of Olivet. And there stand to judge the world across the Kidron Valley. Judging the world. Oh, beloved friend, and the gates will open up. And he'll go into the temple to be anointed the most holy. To be anointed the king. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, when it comes to the word, he's a prophet. Isn't that right? He's God's word because he's a prophet. How many believe Jesus is a prophet? Raise up a prophet like unto Moses. But when it comes to the, you know, when it comes to the priesthood, he's a lamb. How many know Jesus is a lamb? How many understand what I'm saying? He's a lamb. And brother, Jesus, when it comes to kingship, he's a lion. He's a lion. Isn't that right? He's a lion. Jesus is a lion. You know, let me tell you something. To the world, he is a prophet. He is the word to the world. To the church, he is a lamb, our lamb. The high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But when it comes to the Jew, he is their king. Hallelujah. He's coming back and they're going to say, "Where did you get them nails?" Oh, our king. Oh, our king. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God. Don't you love the Lamb of God tonight? Oh, he's your lamb tonight. He's our priest tonight. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. Hallelujah. How sweet, how wonderful. Jesus, the lovely Jesus. Everything is about ready. Everything is about ready. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? We'll walk in the light. Can you sing it with me? We'll walk in the light, in the beautiful light. We'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Oh, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Sing it again. We'll walk in your light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, you're the light of the world. Sing it again. I'll walk in his light. Sing it, can you? Beautiful light. We'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us day and by night. Oh, Jesus, you're the light of my world. We'll walk in God's light, in that beautiful light. Walk away the